Jayarada Madhava Kunjabihari Radha Madhava Kunjabihari Gopijana Vallabha Giridharadhari Gopijana Vallabha Giridharadhari Gopijana Vallabha Giridharadhari Gopijana Vallabha Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Tira Vanachari Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari Radha Madhava Kunjabihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari
Kishore ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Tathai Gaura Premanande, Hari Bol. Reading from 9th Canto, Chapter 10, Pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, text 30 through 50. I think I'm just going to read the first 29 texts and then recite the Sanskrit. Just the translations of the first 29 or 19 30 through 49. Just read the translations and then 50 will recite the Sanskrit after. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Translation to text 30. Thereafter, Lord Ramachandra found Sita Devi sitting in a small cottage beneath the tree named Shimshapa, in a forest of Ashoka trees. She was lean and thin, being aggrieved because of separation from him. Text 31. Seeing his wife in that condition, Lord Ramachandra was very compassionate. When Ramachandra came before her, she was exceedingly happy to see her beloved, and her lotus-like mouth showed her joy. After giving Vibhishana the power to rule the Rakshasa population of Lanka for the duration of one kalpa, Lord Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan, placed Sita Devi on an airplane decorated with flowers and then got on the plane himself. The period of his living in the forest having ended, the Lord returned to Ayodhya, accompanied by Hanuman, Sugriva, and his brother Lakshmana. When Lord Ramachandra returned to his capital, Ayodhya, He was greeted on the road by the princely order, who showered his body with beautiful, fragrant flowers, while great personalities like Lord Brahma and other demigods glorified the activities of the Lord in great jubilation. Upon reaching Ayodhya, Lord Ramachandra heard that in his absence, his brother Bharata was eating barley cooked in the urine of a cow, covering his body with the bark of trees, wearing matted locks of hair, and lying on a mattress of kusha. The most merciful Lord very much lamented this. When Lord Bharata understood that Lord Ramachandra was returning to the capital, Ayodhya, he immediately took upon his own head Lord Ramachandra's wooden shoes and came out from his camp at Nandigram. Lord Bharata was accompanied by ministers, priests, and other respectable citizens, by professional musicians vibrating pleasing musical sounds, and by learned brahmanas loudly chanting Vedic hymns. Following in the procession were chariots drawn by beautiful horses with harnesses of golden rope. These chariots were decorated by flags with golden embroidery and by other flags of various sizes and patterns. There were soldiers bedecked with golden armor, servants bearing betel nuts, and many well-known and beautiful prostitutes. Many servants followed on foot, bearing an umbrella, whisks, different grades of precious jewels, and other paraphernalia befitting a royal reception. Accompanied in this way, Lord Bharata, his heart softened in ecstasy and his eyes full of tears, approached Lord Ramachandra and fell at his lotus feet with great ecstatic love. After offering the wooden shoes before Lord Ramachandra, Lord Bharata stood with folded hands, his eyes full of tears, and Lord Ramachandra bathed Bharata with tears while embracing him with both arms for a long time. Accompanied by Mother Sita and Lakshman, Lord Ramachandra then offered his respectful obeisances unto the learned brahmanas and the elderly persons in the family, and all the citizens of Ayodhya offered their respectful obeisances unto the Lord. The citizens of Ayodhya, upon seeing their king return after a long absence, offered him flower garlands, waved their upper cloths, and danced in great jubilation. O King, Lord Bharata carried Lord Ramachandra's wooden shoes. Sugriva and Vibhishana carried a whisk and an excellent fan. Hanuman carried a white umbrella. Satrughna carried a bow and two quivers, and Sita Devi carried a water pot filled with water from holy places. Angada carried a sword, and Jambavan, king of the rikshas, carried a golden shield. O King Parikshit, as the Lord sat on his airplane of flowers with women offering him prayers and reciters chanting about his characteristics, he appeared like the moon with the stars and planets. Thereafter, having been welcomed by his brother Bharata, Lord Ramachandra entered the city of Ayodhya in the midst of a festival. When he entered the palace, he offered obeisances to all the mothers, including Kaikeyi and the other wives of Maharaj Dasharatha, and especially his own mother, Kaushalya. He also offered obeisances to the spiritual preceptors such as Vasishta. Friends of his own age and younger friends worshipped him, and he returned their respectful obeisances, as did Lakshman and Mother Sita. In this way, they all entered the palace. Upon seeing their sons, the mothers of Rama and Lakshmanan, Bharata and Satrughna immediately arose, like unconscious bodies returning to consciousness. The mothers placed their sons on their laps and bathed them with tears, thus relieving themselves of the grief of long separation. The family priest or spiritual master, Vasishta, had Lord Ramachandra cleanly shaved, freeing him from his matted locks of hair. Then, with the cooperation of the elderly members of the family, he performed the bathing ceremony, Abhishek, for Lord Ramachandra, with the water of the four seas, and with other substances, just as it was performed for King Indra. Lord Ramachandra, fully bathed and his head clean shaven, dressed himself very nicely, and was decorated with a garland and ornaments. Thus he shone brightly, surrounded by his brothers and wife, who were similarly dressed and ornamented. So now, reading the Sanskrit of text 50. So please repeat. Agahit ashanam bratra pranipatya prasadita prajasvadharma nirata varnashrama gunanvitaha jugopa pittiva dramo menire pitaram chatam agrahid ashanam bratra panipatya prasadita prajasvadharma nirata varnashrama gunanvita jugopa pitriva brahmo menire pitaram chatam agahitashanam pratra panipatya prasadita prajasvadharma nirata varnashrama gunandita jugopa pitrivad ramo menire pitaram chatam. Please chant. Agrahid ashanam bratra panipatya prasadita prajasvadharma nirata vanashrama gunanvita jugopa pitrivadramo minire pitaram chatam agahit ashanam bhatra pranipatya prasadataha prajasvadharma nirata varnashrama gunanditaha jugopa pitivadramo menire pitutam chatam agrahit accepted ashanam the throne of the states bratra by his brother Bharata pranipatya after fully surrendering unto him prasaditaha having been pleased, prajaha, and the citizens, svadharma nirata, fully engaged in their respective occupational duties, varnashrama, according to the system of varna and ashrama, guna anvitaha, all of them being qualified in that process. Jugopa, the Lord protected them. Pitavat, exactly like a father. Ramaha, Lord Ramachandra. Menire, they considered. Pitaram, exactly like a father. Cha, also, tam, him, Lord Ramachandra. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Being pleased by the full surrender and submission of Lord Bharata, Lord Ramachandra then accepted the throne of the state. He cared for the citizens exactly like a father, and the citizens, being fully engaged in their occupational duties of varna and ashrama, accepted him as their father. Purport. People are very fond of the pattern of Ramayajya, and even today, politicians sometimes form a party called Ramayajya, but unfortunately, they have no obedience to Lord Ram. It is sometimes said that people want the kingdom of God without God. Such an aspiration, however, is never to be fulfilled. Good government can exist when the relationship between the citizens and the government is like that exemplified by Lord Ramachandra and his citizens. Lord Ramachandra ruled his kingdom exactly as a father takes care of his children, and the citizens, being obliged to the good government of Lord Ramachandra, accepted the Lord as their father. Thus, the relationship between the citizens and the government should be exactly like that between father and son. When the sons in a family are well trained, they are obedient to the father and mother, and when the father is well trained, he takes good care of the children, as indicated here by the words Svadharma Nirata, Varnashram Gunanvitaha. The people were good citizens because they accepted the institution of Varna and Ashrama, which arranges society in the Varna divisions of Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Sudra, and the Ashrama divisions of Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. This is actual human civilization. People must be trained according to the different Varnashram occupational duties, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4.13. Chaturvarnyam maya shashtam guna karma vibhagashaha. The four varnas must be established according to varying qualities and work. The first principle for good government is that it must institute this varnashrama system. The purpose of varnashram is to enable people to become God conscious. Varnashramacharavata purushena para puman vishnur aradyate. The entire Varnashram scheme is intended to enable people to become Vaishnavas, Vishnur Asya Devata. When people worship Lord Vishnu as the Supreme Lord, they become Vaishnavas. Thus, people should be trained to become Vaishnavas through the system of Varna and Ashram, as they were during the reign of Lord Ramachandra, when everyone was fully trained to follow the Varnashrama principles. Simply enforcing laws and ordinances cannot make the citizens obedient and lawful. That is impossible. Throughout the entire world, there are so many states, legislative assemblies, and parliaments, but still the citizens are rogues and thieves. Good citizenship, therefore, cannot be enforced. The citizens must be trained. As there are schools and colleges to train students to become chemical engineers, lawyers, or specialists in many other departments of knowledge, there must be schools and colleges to train students to become brahmanas, kshatriyas, vaishyas, shudras, brahmacharis, grihasthas, vanaprasthas, and sannyasis. This will provide the preliminary condition for good citizenship, varnashram gunanvitaha. Generally speaking, if the king or president is a Rajarshi, the relationship between the citizens and the chief executive will be clear, and there will be no possibility of disruption in the state, because the number of thieves and rogues will decrease. In Kali Yuga, however, because the Varnashrama system is neglected, people are generally thieves and rogues. In the system of democracy, such thieves and rogues naturally collect money from other thieves and rogues, and thus there is chaos in every government, and no one is happy. But here, the example of good government is to be found in the reign of Lord Ramachandra. If people follow this example, there will be good government all over the world. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Neti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Devisesha Sunyavadi Pashita Deshitarine Panchakalpa Truvischa Kripa Sindhuva Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gauravaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. Thank you for joining class. Please forgive my deficiencies. I'm still a very neophyte devotee, so giving class to senior devotees is not such a good thing, but I was asked to do the service, so with your blessings I can say something hopefully of value about this verses in purport. I wanted to first talk a little bit about this pastime of Lord Ramachandra. And the importance, what I've found when I was meditating on it, the pastime, especially in relation to the purport of establishing Varnashram and becoming Vaishnavas. I find that these set of verses, it's really like dramatic and beautiful. Lord Ramachandra is coming back to Ayodhya and he's being received by all the citizens in such a cultured way, such a high standard of culture that is being spoken about. His brother Bharata, because he was so aggrieved that Lord Ramachandra had to be banished to the forest, he was eating only barley. It's cooked in cow urine, and one of the verses said. And he was wearing only tree bark and laying on kusha grass. So this is an example of a highly cultured person who he wasn't happy to take over the kingdom for himself when Lord Ramachandra got exiled, but he was extremely aggrieved for this, and he felt so bad that he was taking on such extreme austerities, even though he was the king of Ayodhya. But he was he had grown out his hair, he was living in austere conditions. So that's one example of a highly cultured level of existence, and then another example is how all the citizens were so happy to be ruled by Lord Ramachandra, and when he came, there's a huge festival in this city, and they worshipped him with all this opulence. And hearing about this, celebration, it shows us, it gives us a window into what it really means to be like in a society of devotees, or a society of a divine culture, and that gives us that hope. It gives us a higher way of living to aspire for. In the purport, Prabhupada spoke a little bit about in Kali Yuga, what we're experiencing, what culture is prevalent in Kali Yuga. And we all know that it's not so conducive to happiness. It says no one is happy because it's a society of thieves and rogues, and the high up, the people ruling the society are thieves and rogues, and they're collecting taxes from the thieves and rogues. So and there's no culture, there's no standard. It's all just about who can make the most money by cheating the most, finding any way to make money, whether, you know, it's opening up huge slaughterhouse productions and selling animal flesh on every corner of the city, opening up casinos, bars, so prevalent. It's all, the society is based on sinful activity and making money in sinful ways. And that's what we're, that's what the state of our civilization is at right now. But hearing these pastimes of the Srimad Bhagavatam of Lord Ramachandra's culture, this palace and this kingdom and all this respect that's being given and shared and all this love that's being shown to the king, and the love between, and the love and respect between Lord Ramachandra and the elders and his brother, is so much, it's such a high level of existence, because there's so much spiritual culture that's what brings real happiness, and it gives us a clue into what is real life, why that this society of thieves and rogues is not real, it's just degradation. And then hearing these pastimes give us, oh wow, this is real life, where we're actually ruled by divine personalities, and every person is happy to be, just even to exist, just doing simple duties according to Varna Ashram. If you're engaged by a divine personality, then you're linked into that culture. And then even if you have a lower position, you're extremely satisfied, because the whole atmosphere is pleasing for everybody. And that's just the higher state of existence. And by hearing about this Bhagavatam, from the Bhagavatam, then we can aspire for it and remind ourselves, this is where we're heading, this is where what we're trying to develop. And we can develop it internally within ourselves too. We have to become cultured, respectful, raising our consciousness to the level of Vaishnava consciousness, Krishna consciousness, and then we can manifest it as a society, ISKCON. But starting within ourselves, by hearing and chanting these pastimes, it brings a whole new life, and like opens us up to the divine way of living. Whereas if we don't read the Bhagavatam, then we just get distracted by the external things, all the hurricanes, tornadoes, all these things going on. It's good to know what's going on a little bit, but really getting absorbed in this, the Bhagavatam allows us to to enter into higher state of being. So that's kind of what I had to say about the specific pastime of Lord Ramachandra. It's really a nice set of verses. A lot of verses that I read could be kind of meditated upon, like how nicely Lord Ramachandra was received, and this is kind of the culmination of his banishment to the forest, and he comes back. And I feel like I wasn't, when I was reading the verses, I'm not able to present it exact, like how nice it really is, because I'm not so in touch with the pastime. But it's really a glorious thing that all these citizens are just so happy because Ramachandra is back in the kingdom of Ayodhya after being banished to the forest. And there's just a festival and all this respect and worship going on. So it's such a nice pastime. This is kind of the culmination of that pastime. Another point I can talk about a little bit is in the purport, Prabhupada says that in India it's common for people to form a political party called Rama Rajya. They try to implement this policy of Lord Ramachandra. But it said that they want the kingdom of God without God. So they're trying to rule the citizens, but not putting Ramachandra actually in the center, or Krishna. The process of Varnashram in the center. So it never works. You can't establish Varnashram in the kingdom of Lord Ramachandra without putting Lord Ramachandra in the center of worship. And later in the purport it says, simply by enforcing laws and ordinances cannot make the citizens obedient and lawful. That is impossible. So, and it says, good citizenship therefore cannot be enforced. The citizens must be trained. And this is Prabhupada's manifesto of the Varnashram college and training. And so we can see that just by trying to enforce the laws and ordinances, it doesn't actually work if the citizens aren't trained properly. And it's just like a useless battle. And by trying to enforce laws and ordinances without like training the citizens thoroughly, it's like an endless battle against law, and even with against crime. And even like Prabhupada said, even the leaders of the system are thieves and rogues. So there's no hope without establishing this Varnashram culture. I didn't have too much time to prepare this class. So that's pretty much what I prepared to say about this purport. I guess one more thing I can share is some experiences I've having, like just on a practical level of our society. Establishing Varnashram is a big task, and Prabhupada expected so much. He put so much vision into what we're supposed to be, and sometimes it feels like we're not living up to his standard. 50 years later, Prabhupada wanted to establish full-time gurukuls to train children, and that's happening in some places, but in America it's not, hasn't been so successful. And right in this purport, Prabhupada is declaring that we should establish Varnashram colleges. This takes extreme organization. We have to be equally as organized as the universities in our education. We have to get to that level of professionally organized education, not just like spontaneously trying to teach without any organization, barely. Just like whatever extra time we have, we'll dedicate that to teaching. It has to be professionally organized, just like a university. The universities in America and all over the world are so organized that they have millions of people buying into their system of education. There's people that they know when they join the university, they're going to be here for 4 years, and this is what they're going to get. And it's all lined up, and there's teachers, they're all in their right occupation. Everything is scheduled out. Every day they meet at this time, and they have classrooms and buildings and all the materials they need. So we also have to, that Prabhupada's order is to establish colleges to train students in Varnashram. So it's a really big order to become professionally organized. It's not just something you can put together, on the side. somehow slap some things together and come out with a educational program, a college to train people in Varnashram. It takes professionally organized individuals and educated individuals to establish these things. And Prabhupada asked for so much, and I feel like we have a long ways to go to fulfill what Prabhupada wanted. And this is a huge manifesto of college, Varnashram College. And it can be kind of like overwhelming from my perspective as a new devotee, like where we're at and where Prabhupada wanted us to be can be overwhelming. But what I found, it's really important not to get overwhelmed or stuck into this system of pointing fingers, like we're not doing this, we're not doing that, this isn't going on, this isn't going on. If we get too much into that, we'll get kind of taken over, and we'll miss out. It'll kind of distract us from our simple sadhana. So although we do have to work, strive for this high instruction of Prabhupada, we have to also make sure we don't get into the fault-finding tendency, because a lot of people come to ISKCON and then they see that there's some deficiencies in where we're at and where Prabhupada wanted, then there's frustration with the temple authorities, and there's frustration within, because it feels like something's wrong. But it's important for each individual to not point the fingers at anybody, but take responsibility and look within what we can each do to make it better, rather than always thinking this isn't going on, that's not going on, these people are like this, that people are like that, those people are like that. Posting online, this is so bad, ISKCON this, ISKCON that, devotees this, devotees that. So much fault finding and offenses going on, but that doesn't help anything. That's very common. But we actually have to, like I said, develop it within ourselves and take responsibility for Prabhupada's movement. And that, this is a huge opportunity for growth in bhakti, is taking on this hardship and difficulty, and instead of pointing fingers, just really take the mission within ourselves, and what can we do about it, instead of always wasting so much time talking about what's not going on. We can use that time to get to where we want to be, and always saying what other people aren't doing. It's a big waste of time. So these are just some thoughts I had about that, how we can reach this huge objective that Prabhupada has for us. And like I said too, that this is an amazing opportunity for growth in devotional service, because it's difficult. There's a lot of work to do in ISKCON, so it's a huge opportunity for growth within ourselves if we can take on some of this austerity and penance to push forward ISKCON to make it better. What can we do about it? That's like real opportunity for growth in devotional service, real purification of the false ego. It's like difficult work cooperating with other people when the circumstances are tough, there's not so many people around, a lot of service to do, and it's really purifying to take it on. Compared to another option is to just leave the society, or leave the movement, or try to do things on our own. We could go to Vrindavan, go just chant and hear in Vrindavan. But taking on this austerity of serving Prabhupada, serving this great mission, the mission of the Vaishnavas, is a huge opportunity to grow in devotional service. And that's where the mercy will descend, But if we try to make it an ascending process where we try to go away from the society and ascend by our own chanting and hearing, then I find that it's a dangerous position. And the safest position is to just take shelter of the mission, and it's a huge opportunity for purification. So, and according to Varna Ashram, we can figure out what our nature is, what we're able to add to the movement, according to our nature or our abilities, best. So it's a nice meditation to figure out exactly how we can serve ISKCON and serve the mission and really become one-pointed focused in our occupation and how we can serve and really become a good example of a member of this culture of Varnashram. So yeah, those are some thoughts on this topic. I don't really have much else to say. If there's any discussion by chance, it'll be helpful. We have some time to make up, or we can end early too. It's not such a big deal. Maybe Mother Krishnarchana can add some thoughts to it.
Well, Giridhari Prabhu, you were highlighting something of the opportunity that's present there in terms of particularly what you'd made note of from the purport, Srila Prabhupada pointing out the establishment of colleges that give training in Varnashram. So we can see that there is forward movement in that direction, because there are such colleges that are at least providing training in the scriptures. So one could say there's training in Brahminical culture. And it came to my mind when this point was brought up that it's an interesting thing to also look into the training of the Kshatriyas and the Vaishyas from the a perspective of Varnashram College. And so I guess that is also sort of moving forward a little bit, at least in terms of the training for managing farm communities or dealing with the protection of cows. So there is something being done in that direction. The only one that I guess leaves the question is the you know, the Kshatriya training, the administrative training. So sometimes we have like senior devotees coming and giving some training in managing this, that, or the other, but that seems to be an area that hasn't fully been touched on, the establishment of structures that help with training in administration. So the only one I've heard of is the like there's training for temple presidents, you know, how to actually function on an administrative level. So it's interesting expanding that into training for those functioning within society on an administrative level, but obviously from the perspective of the Vedas and doing it in a proper way, because that's what was being highlighted in this verse, the big gap that's there with persons that are in positions of rulership and are actually completely untrained and so actually degrade into stealing from the citizens instead of protecting. So that seems to be, at least what I'm comprehending, seems to be the area that is most vulnerable at the present time and maybe is the area that needs most development. Of course, I'm talking from my limited perspective of just getting a simple overview and not from the perspective of, you know, the spiritual masters that are looking at such questions and forming bodies of persons and looking to the overall education within the society and therefore what can be done to expand it into the broader society. Of course, I'm not talking from that perspective. I'm just looking from a very simple overview from my simple position. But that seems to be the area that is perhaps the biggest gap to fill.
Yeah, thank you for sharing. I'm a little even scared to talk about this so I don't make any offenses, because I know that the leadership and management of our society is extremely difficult, an extremely difficult service, and so I really feel like a really insignificant person trying to speak over the microphone in the temple about that. Prabhupada, in his purports, especially in the first canto, but pretty much throughout the whole Bhagavatam, he's always, and the whole Bhagavatam is about, so far from what I've read, it's like largely about stories of kings, like ruling the citizens properly, like, and a lot of the purports, especially in the first canto, Prabhupada is constantly saying, like, we have to rule society in a better way. Rule society in a better way. And he is speaking about the whole society a lot of times, not just our society. He puts ISKCON as a instrument to change the whole landscape of the world and society, and that's Prabhupada's huge vision, and it's like over and over again in the Bhagavatam, this administrative gap and the insufficiencies of the modern government and things like that. I know that they are establishing, I don't know much about the GBC college, but I know that it's for the leaders of the society. There's a curriculum put together about management and administration. I think that's like the first thing that they've established, is for training the future leaders of, at least just of ISKCON. That's great. Yeah, it's like it's a huge manifesto. It's a huge service that we have to do. Like, that's what I'm trying to become, more like one-pointed. Like, just like if I think too much about all these things, it's like it's not practical. I have to find, okay, what is my varna? What is my ashram? And what can I do at this moment? Maybe in the future I can be a leader and change the world or something, like have a huge impact. But if I always just think theoretically in the future like that, so that's kind of was my point, was to not get overwhelmed by that, the huge task that's at hand, but find our varna and ashram and engage accordingly at the present moment and grow from there. But it's such a big service to, it's really infinite service to serve ISKCON. It's like, if you want engagement for the rest of your life, like, become dedicated to serving ISKCON, because it's like, there's no end to what we can do, and it's also super rewarding. If we can even just do, if we just become a little bit successful in spreading Krishna consciousness, it's like the highest gain for it, all of us. And it's just, there's so much to do. We have so much, so much service to do to help. There's so many people out there that want spiritual life, and there's so many nice people that are just waiting for a devotee to come and just nicely share with them Krishna consciousness. And that's kind of, if we can just do that even a little bit, we can get more people to join in within our movement, and then we need to organize really nicely and engage people really nicely. And that's what, like, leadership is like engaging people, according to Varna and Ashram. The Prabhupada says that in a lot of the pastimes, this verse is like a repetitive verse, where he ruled the citizens according to Varnashram, the Varnashram system. It's like, there's a verse like that about, like, Prahlad. I don't remember Prahlad, I haven't read that pastime, but Prithu Maharaj ruled the citizens according to Varnashram. He engaged them all in this system. Dhruva Maharaj, it's a common verse. So that's what we have to learn how to do, is engage people that we're preaching to and give them this engagement and try to build some momentum from there and start growing our movement more and more. Not start, it's already started, but continue to grow it more and more from where it's at. So those are some thoughts. Anything? You have any thoughts?
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for the class. Could you repeat back where it was saying, it was talking about the leaders controlling society by the rules versus, I missed that, that's why I wanted to, do you know what part I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Hi, Paul.
It says, simply enforcing laws and ordinances cannot make the citizens obedient and lawful. That is impossible. Throughout the entire world, there are so many states, legislative assemblies, and parliaments, but still the citizens are rogues and thieves. Good citizenship, therefore, cannot be enforced. The citizens must be trained. As there are schools and colleges to train students to become chemical engineers, lawyers, and specialists in many other departments of knowledge, there must be schools and colleges to train students to become brahmanas, kshatriyas, vaishyas, shudras, brahmacharyas, grihasthas, vanaprasthas, and sannyasis. This will provide the preliminary condition for good citizenship.
Okay, well, so basically where we're at right now is that there's no one's being trained up. There's just a bunch of rules, stop signs, if you will, in society. But it's merely just a way of controlling people without actual proper training for any purpose. This is what's led to this downgraded society that we live in right now. Is that correct?
Yeah. It's part of it. Part of the reaction. It's like... it's like asking someone to come to a standard without giving them the tools to do it. It's really impractical. When all these, the whole media and the whole culture is based on sinful activity, and you expect that the law enforcement will keep society, in check, but the whole culture is based on demonic sinful activity, so it's just a continuous uproar of disobedience, and they don't know what to do about it. But there's continuous sanction of the culture that's propagating this state of consciousness. If they're intelligent at all, they would stop the sinful propagation of meat eating, illicit sex, intoxication. All these things just provide for chaos, and that's the root of it. And you have to give them a higher engagement, you know. But it's the society is so far away from Varnashram, it's like practically impossible. I know Prabhupada said that we can take over the whole world. I've also heard quotes that said there's no way they'll all become Krishna conscious, too. I've heard him say that too. So it's like it's such a degraded time, and it's only getting worse. But we have to work to establish it, at least within ISKCON, and then we can influence the wider population. Thank you. Alright. Thank you for tolerating me. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Srila Prabhupada Ki Tai Gaur Premanande Hari.